thank you, Blessing Zulu and Jonga Kandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Wednesday, November 5th, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Chris Gande.
Among our top stories this evening,
the newly elected national executive of the MDCT's youth wing says it is solidly behind party leader Morgan Tsvangirai and will work hard to dislodge ZANU-PF from office.
We are not only going to wake up tomorrow and say we are filling the streets of Zimbabwe or Harare or Gweru. We are going to go through a systematic process of conscientizing young people.
President Barack Obama's Democratic Party loses control of the U.S. Senate as the Republicans expanded their edge in the House of Representatives, giving them a majority in both houses of Congress for the final 2 years of Mr. Obama's presidency.
It is our dear hope that we can emphasize less our differences and highlight more our convergences between Washington and Harare.
And the Constitutional Court hears arguments in a challenge by human rights activist Thabani Mpofu against the government's policy of mandatory blending of fuel.
The newly elected national executive of the MDCT's youth wing says it is solidly behind party leader Morgan Tsvangirai and will work hard to dislodge President Robert Mugabe and ZANU-PF from power. Correspondent Taura Ishawa has more.
Addressing journalists at the National Youth Executive's first press conference in Gweru yesterday evening, the MDCT Youth Secretary, Love Mochinoputsa, said although the executive, elected at the party's weekend congress, is still to hold its first meeting, it fully supports party president Morgan Tsvangirai and his calls for national peaceful protests as a way of removing the ruling ZANU-PF party from power. Responding to a question on how effective or successful such demonstrations can be, given that the majority of Zimbabweans are now self-employed, Chinoputsa said, in view of what he described as President Robert Mugabe's vicious dictatorship, peaceful revolt was the only way the majority could show its disapproval of the suffering that it is experiencing. Chinoputsa claimed that ordinary Zimbabweans are the ones who are clamoring for the demonstrations, adding that the MDCT's youth wing will have a clear strategy for the envisaged protests.
We are not only going to wake up tomorrow and say we are filling the streets of Zimbabwe or Harare or Gweru. We are going to go through a systematic process of conscientizing young people on what we are, what we want to achieve, and the ultimate aim we want to come up with. So we're going to go on a conscientization move to make sure that not only young people, but everyone in the country gets to understand the vision of all these activities we want to undertake. I know that a number of people are not employed. I know a number of people have a lot of things on their plates. But then we're saying this is a national issue. This is a national concern when we have to finish it once and for all.
Chinoputsa said the ongoing factional fights in ZANU-PF show that President Mugabe is no longer in charge of both his party and the country, a situation he said compounds the problems that Zimbabwe is facing, claiming there is no leadership. Despite the fact that some Western countries, which have imposed targeted sanctions on President Mugabe and other senior ZANU-PF members, are now re-engaging Harare, Chinoputsa said the MDCT remains of a firm view that President Mugabe's rule is illegitimate, claiming the 2013 elections were rigged, adding that the MDCT youth wing will continue to fight until the country has credible elections.
There are a number of figures that have been put out in the public of what transpired in that election. We are convinced beyond any reasonable doubt that that election was stolen. And as far as our consent, that's where the illegitimacy of this government comes from. Whether anyone will call it a free, fair poll for us, we do not recognize it. We are not worried about what other international organizations think. This struggle is about Zimbabwe. It's about Zimbabweans who are suffering. This struggle is about the people of Zimbabwe who are failing to access jobs, who are failing to get basic services. And the Zimbabweans are going to determine their fate. If anyone is prepared to be with us, then the better. If they are not, the people of Zimbabwe will continue to push for what they think is the right way to go.
Chinoputsa said the MDCT is in support of a coalition to dislodge ZANU-PF, but said such an alliance can only materialize if all stakeholders acknowledge that Mr. Tsvangirai is and remains the legitimate face of the opposition in Zimbabwe. He dismissed allegations that the MDCT leader does not brook any dissenting voice in his party, saying the former trade unionist is a tried and tested Democrat who has an open-door policy. Mr. Tsvangirai is being criticized for allowing sweeping constitutional changes at the weekend Congress that saw him being given excessive powers to run the party, control its name, assets, and powers previously vested in the Secretary General and Treasurer General. Chinoputa also quashed speculation that the MDCT had become more fractured, arguing the party had just held a successful Congress, meaning it is still intact. On views that Tsvangirai was becoming dictatorial as he forced the constitutional amendments that concentrate power in his position, Chinoputa said the changes had been necessary after the realization that there were many centers of power in the party, which he said had caused previous splits. He said the changes to the party's constitution were approved by party members.
There's nothing that the president has done that's out of this world. It's only ensuring that we create a single center of power so that we avoid unnecessary detours in this struggle. The splits have been damaging to the party. The splits have derailed the people's progress. And so we are clear, the people were clear, in fact, that they want to ensure that there is only going to be a single command within the party. And I think that's normal. It should be normal within a political movement that if A is a leader of that party at that particular point of time, they have to provide leadership in total. So it's only the work of our detractors who think that power is being concentrated in one office.
Other members of the National Youth Executive who accompanied Chinoputsa were National Chairperson Happy Mochidziwa, Spokesman Brian Dube, Organizing Secretary Morgan Ngube, Vice Organizing Secretary Yvonne Musarurwa, Treasurer Tawanda Kureva, and Vice Secretary Chamunorwa Majga. Chinoputsa said the youth executive will hold its first meeting soon to come up with resolutions he says will help provide solutions to the country's problems. Reporting for Studio 7 from Gweru, this is Taurai Shava.
Republicans have recaptured control of the U.S. Senate and expanded their edge in the House of Representatives, giving them a majority in both houses of Congress for the final 2 years of President Barack Obama's presidency. Democrats held 55 of the Senate's 100 seats before yesterday's congressional elections, but Republicans gained at least 7 seats with wins in Arkansas, Colorado, Iowa, Montana, North Carolina, South Dakota, and West Virginia, with 3 races undecided on Wednesday. The results were a stinging rebuff to Mr. Obama, who was not on the ballot but said that his policies were. He planned a mid-afternoon news conference to discuss the results and invited congressional leaders to the White House for a Friday meeting to discuss legislative priorities. Republican Senator Mitch McConnell of Kentucky, who easily won his re-election bid, is set to become the Senate Majority Leader.
Mr. McConnell promised to seek agreement with Mr. Obama on some issues, but at an election victory night party, he also vowed to continue the Republican effort to diminish the size of the national government. While taking over Senate control come January, Republicans added at least 13 seats in the 435-member House, where they already held 233 seats. With control of Congress, Republicans could raise new disputes with Mr. Obama over his signature legislative achievement, healthcare reform, which has allowed millions of people to secure insurance coverage they could not previously afford. Many Republicans view the law as an excessive government involvement and have repeatedly called for its repeal. Commenting on what the elections may mean for Zimbabwe, Deputy Foreign Affairs Minister Chris Mchangwa told Blessing Zulu he hoped the Republicans and the Democrats will work well together and remove targeted sanctions imposed on Zimbabwe by the American government.
My view is that the Republicans are pro-business, so we are hoping that from that premise, they will look at developing more trade with Africa and then maybe work with the president on something which will be good for the expansion of American-African trade.
Are there any plans by Harare to engage Washington?
There are always ongoing contacts with the Americans, especially with the State Department. We've just appointed our new ambassador, and his mandate is exactly you know, focused on any ways which can improve relations between Harare and Washington. It is our dear hope that we can emphasize less our differences and highlight more our convergences between Washington and Harare. Sanctions, they've long passed their sell-by date. They are not saving anybody. And definitely there's no prospects with what has happened in the MDC. So the prospects of any government other than that of President Mugabe in Zimbabwe for the next 4, let alone 8 years, is dim. This is the political season of ZANU-PF and President Mugabe. And the sooner Washington comes to terms with that reality, the better, because it creates the basis of moving forward between the two countries.
Talking just briefly about the sanctions, what is your take on the EU to remove all the restrictions?
Anything which improves the climate of business between Harare and the EU, we welcome it. We are obviously unhappy about the stigmatization of our country through the continued retention of the president and the first lady on the list of sanctions. It's a plain bad manners on the part of the EU to do that. But that as it may, we would want them to continue to work hard so that the business between Zimbabwe and the Brussels continues to flow and other various EU capitals.
That was Zimbabwe's Deputy Foreign Affairs Minister Chris Mchangwa on the line from Harare with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu.
Political analyst Dr. Moses Rumano says President Obama's party was affected by his foreign policy, resulting in last night's huge loss.
This doesn't come as a surprise to me when I look at the economy, the emergence of Ebola from West Africa, and the ISIS in Middle East, Syria and Iraq. This is not coming to me as a surprise because the electorate is not so sure of what will be going on because of these issues.
So essentially you are saying this was a referendum on President Obama, not just the local politics?
Yes, in some sense I can say that, because people are trying to express their anger, their frustration. So they vent it in any way that they can. And I think this basically could be a referendum for President Obama.
Let's look at the takeaways for countries in Africa in general and Zimbabwe in particular. What can Zimbabwe learn from the conduct of these elections?
The electorate has to be given the platform to express their voices. Once that has taken place, it means we know that democracy becomes a sustainable project. Not from anywhere else, but the people could have expressed their voices and their wishes will be respected.
Are we likely to see any change in U.S. Policy towards Africa in general and Zimbabwe in particular?
I'm positive that we might see some changes. Now that European Union has lifted the sanctions on Zimbabwe, I am positive that the U.S. might follow suit or might review other things, including the policies that the U.S. has towards Africa, and in particular Zimbabwe. I hope that there could be more engagement that will come from the U.S. now, and I hope Zimbabwe could reciprocate as well.
And that was political analyst Dr. Moses Rumano speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu.
The Zimbabwe Peace Project says it remains concerned by the heightened tensions being caused by the hate speech or by hate speech and attacks on rivals in the country's politics, saying things have gone beyond acceptable levels. The ZPP says over the past month, the media has been awash with public statements from politicians attacking opponents. The group describes hate speech as statements intended to degrade, intimidate or incite violence against someone, adding this is harmful to the organization. Reporter Atatenda Gumbo spoke with Zimbabwe Peace Project Director Justina Mukoko, who says safeguards are needed in this current political climate.
I think the feeling that we have got is that a lot of this hate language is coming through the media. And this is why we are thinking that the Zimbabwe Media Commission needs to really take a role in terms of controlling what people are exposed to. Because obviously with such hate language that people have been exposed to, we are likely to see an incitement of violence.
And when you speak about the media's role in this particular situation, would you say that the media itself has been roped in following what's going on?
No, we are not saying the media itself has been roped in, but we think that the commission needs to put on safeguards in terms of what politicians can say through the media.
You have also called on political parties and their leaders to strike balance between what is freedom of speech and what is considered to be hate speech. Can you elaborate on that?
What we really mean by that is that there should be freedom of speech. But I think it needs to be guided somewhere so that it doesn't tend to be hate when you are saying what you want. What we have recognized in the recent past is that we have had people really throwing hate speech at opponents, which at times is really uncalled for.
And that was a Zimbabwe Peace Project Director Justina Mukoko on the line from Harare with reporter Tatenda Gumbo.
Now we take a look at regional and international news.
A delegation of West African leaders is in Burkina Faso trying to defuse a political crisis set off by the departure of longtime President Blaise Compaoré. The presidents of Ghana, Nigeria and Senegal arrived in Ouagadougou today and went into meetings with Burkinabe politicians and religious leaders, including the country's military-appointed interim president, Lieutenant Colonel Isaac Zida.
Israeli police say a Palestinian man has rammed a car into a crowd of pedestrians in Jerusalem in a deliberate attack that injured 10 people, including at least 3 police officers. A local hospital says one of the officers later died.
And just days before U.S. President Barack Obama travels to China for a regional summit, a prominent state-run newspaper there is accusing him of being an ineffective leader who has done an insipid job in the office. The editorial in the Global Times was published just hours before President Obama's Democratic Party lost control of the U.S. Senate, meaning the rival Republican Party now controls both houses of the Congress. The Times, whose editorials often reflect the views of China's Communist Party, said Mr. Obama has not lived up to the expectation of his supporters in that U.S. society has grown tired of his, quote, banality.
The Constitutional Court today heard arguments in a challenge by human rights activist Thabani Mpofu against the government's policy of mandatory blending of fuel. Mpofu's lawyer Tendai Biti told the court that the policy was unconstitutional as it violates motorists' rights to choose between blend and unleaded fuel. Biti also argued that blend fuel was not good for some cars, adding consumers should have the option to buy unleaded fuel. But lawyers representing Energy Minister Dzikamai Mavaire and Green Fuels, which is responsible for the fuel blending, countered Biti's arguments. Reporter Ntunga Milinkomo reached Biti for more.
It's against the freedom of choice for me to be forced to blended fuel when I don't want. It should be my choice to choose blended fuel. Our argument was also based on the fact that the law that they used to make these regulations, the Petroleum Act, was never designed to deal with ethanol, which is a different product. It was only designed to deal with the petroleum products. Therefore, the government acted ultra-virus, acted outside its mandate, the mandate that they were never given by Parliament. To make this law. So this was a very important case in that we were trying to make new law. For instance, we were trying to persuade the Constitutional Court to find that somewhere in the Constitution, implicitly, there is something called freedom of choice. That freedom of choice is the one that makes you drive a red car or a blue car, marry a tall wife or a fat wife like mine or a thin wife. The concept of freedom necessarily means freedom of choice. So this is a new chatway, if you like, but very interesting arguments, I must say.
What were the arguments of the state?
Their main arguments were that a citizen doesn't have the general right of just applying to the courts for constitutional relief. And my answer to that is that this is a new constitution. It breaks with the past. And in terms of Section 85, a citizen has got unrestricted and unfettered capacity to approach the court. They were also trying to argue that FNL can be said to be a patrol, so therefore use of the Patrol Act in making the regulations is lawful. But you and I know that petrol is a hydrocarbon. It's mined. It's a mineral. Ethanol is agriculture in Zimbabwe. So the two are different. They were also arguing that there's not called freedom of choice and that the court should not recognize this new right called freedom of choice.
That was lawyer Tendai Biti on the line with reporter Ntungamili Nkomo from Harare. Meanwhile, losing MDCT Secretary General candidate Nelson Chamisa today officially registered with the High Court to start working as a lawyer. Chamisa says he's excited about his new career.
Zimbabwe is expected to market itself at a two-day diamond conference that starts in Harare tomorrow. The conference is expected to draw close to 1,000 dignitaries from African diamond mining countries, dealers and traders from all over the world. Zimbabwe is hosting the conference for the second time since 2012. The meeting comes a few days before the Kimberley plenary meeting, which will be held in China next week. Kimberley Process local focal point person and human rights lawyer Shamiso Mutisi tells reporter Junga Kandemiri that civil society will highlight the impact of diamond mining in communities at the conference.
Tomorrow, yes, there is a Zimbabwe Diamond Conference. And it's basically about discussing issues related to diamond production in Zimbabwe, marketing of diamond, export of diamonds. So those are critical issues. And also the other thing that will be discussed is around beneficiation, how the country can benefit from a value addition or beneficiation of the diamonds. I think you're well aware that we export diamonds in their raw form as rough diamonds. And the important thing for us to discuss tomorrow is how can the country benefit from the resources that we have. And also what is important actually to be discussed is around how can the country attract investors or people who can help the country to ensure that geological surveys are carried out. The importance of geological surveys is to assess the quantities of diamonds that we have.
As civil society, do you have any role to play at this conference? And if so, what's the role?
Yes, our role in the diamond sector is actually reflected through what is called the tripartite nature of the Kimberley Process. As you know, diamonds are actually marketed and traded in line with the Kimberley Process requirements. In itself, the Kimberley Process is a tripartite arrangement, which includes government, civil society, and industry. So for us, our role is basically to play an oversight role.
That was Kimberley Process local focal point person and human rights lawyer Shamiso Mtisi in Harare.
Zimbabweans in the diaspora interested in accessing insurance and banking services can now buy these products online through zimselector.com, a new financial service that was launched 3 weeks ago. Local Zimbabweans will also be able to access the facility. Chief Executive Officer of zimselector.com, Lukungwe Rume, speaks with Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye on the issue.
ZimSelector.com is the first financial services aggregator to which you can log in and you will have the ability to purchase financial products. And those financial products would include things like insurance or general insurance, insurance for motor cars, insurance for houses, funeral insurance, life insurance. You can even buy investment products like money market product, equity product, medical insurance, and travel insurance. And you can also open up a bank account. It's a site where you have got participating organizations such as insurance companies and banks. And the whole idea is that these participating insurance or banks provide access to
promoting their product on the platform.
Who is your target market?
As long as you are Zimbabwean, anywhere around the globe, and if you have got a need for insurance products, bank accounts, you can access. That is the target market. And as long as you can log on to the internet, access the site, then you are the person that we like to deal with. It is a financial broker type operation which happens to be online for ready access from anywhere in the world and right round the clock.
Are you registered on the stock exchange or what are your plans for the future?
This platform is registered with several authorities. It's registered with the Central Bank, with the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe, because somebody might want to open a bank account from anywhere in the world, or you've got rules and regulations that have got to be adhered to for you to open a bank account whilst you are anywhere in the world. It's also regulated by the Insurance and Pensions Commission, also endorsed by the Securities Exchange Commission, which means that you can buy investment-type products via the platform. And it has been endorsed by the Ministry of Health Medical Insurance.
That was ZimSelector.com Chief Executive Officer Luke Ngwerume speaking to Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye from Harare.
And now an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
A strong promoter of spreading democracy abroad through free and fair elections, the United States turns its attention homeward this week with important balloting of its own across the country. The November midterm elections will determine which political party controls the U.S. Congress and 36 state governorships. President Barack Obama isn't on the ballot, but the outcome of the national races will have a big impact on his policies and achievements in his last 2 years in office. This year's election comes at a critical time for our nation. It is the first since Russia invaded the Ukraine. A militant Islamic insurgency took control of large swaths of territory in Syria and Iraq, and the shadow of West Africa's Ebola fever epidemic touched our shores with the return of infected travelers and healthcare workers. Polls indicate that because of concern with these and other crises, American voters will go to the polls in a sour mood. Many may not even cast a vote at all. Midterm voter turnout is always smaller than when presidential candidates are on the ballot, and given popular discontent, that trend may continue. Or maybe not. The next Congress will be asked to take fateful votes on war and peace issues that will affect every American. The impact will be felt not only in congressional action in the immediate future, but it could provide potential presidential candidates with clues on how to govern if they run in 2016. Important state and local issues will also be on the ballot, such as raising the minimum wage, allowing casino gambling, spending more money on education, and legalizing marijuana. With such high stakes, political parties and candidates have spent billions of dollars to get their messages out and appeal for support. In several states that allow people to vote by mail early because of Election Day conflicts, the balloting has never been higher. Even with their discontent over the nature of politics today and unpopular government policies, Americans know elections are the best way to have their voices heard. That is the essence of democratic government, and a right that, the nation's current mood or not, few Americans would surrender.
That was an editorial reflecting American ideals and institutions.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our hosts will discuss with experts and you, the listeners, about the U.S. midterm election results. What do they mean for Zimbabwe?
To join the discussion, please text us at 001-202-465-0318. The number once again, 001-202-465-0318, so we can call you back from our studios.
And now to recap today's top stories.
The newly elected national executive of the MDCT's youth wing says it is solidly behind party leader Morgan Tsvangirai and will work hard to dislodge ZANU-PF from office.
President Barack Obama's Democratic Party loses control of the U.S. Senate as the Republicans expanded their edge in the House of Representatives, giving them a majority in both houses of Congress for the final 2 years of Mr. Obama's presidency.
And the Constitutional Court today heard arguments in a challenge by human rights activist Thabani Mpofu against the government's policy of mandatory blending of fuel.
That's our broadcast this evening.
Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Sandra Nyaira in Washington.
And I'm Chris Gande, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.